Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, playing Devil or Angel. Devil, Angel. And the wheel goes around and around. Depends upon the topic, you'll decide who the devil is and who the angel is, won't you? So let me begin with the crazed sex poodle Al Gore. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. I'm the only one in the media who knows what's going on because I can figure it out. They think that they're blindsiding you, and they are, because you are basically easy to blindside. The average American is too busy. It's not that you're stupid. So Obama's in trouble with the Gulf oil spill. Obama's in trouble with the war. Obama fires a hero general, replaces him with a desk jockey. And so what do? They throw a sex story in your face. The same way they did when Clinton was in trouble, they threw Lewinsky in your face. You don't remember that. I do. See, I've been in the business long enough to know how it works and how the vermin in the media operate. They take their marching orders from the government. And when the government's in trouble, what they do is they throw a sex story at you, knowing that your mind can only take so much seriousness. So just as they threw the purple dress in your face with Lewinsky, and that really saved Clinton, you thought it was going to bring Clinton down. What you didn't know is it was done to save Clinton from all of his real scandals. His deals with China, and on and on and on. All of the real Clinton scandals were covered up with Monica Lewinsky's stained dress. And now they've thrown Gore under the bus. Of course, there are so many bodies under Obama's bus right now. I don't know if the bus can still roll, frankly. So that's why they threw the Gore story out. They've held it for 2 years. All of a sudden, it's a story that he leapt on an old masseuse in Portland somewhere and gave her a French kiss. That's a story. I mean, it's disgusting when you think about it. Are you expected he was really a nice guy, that he wasn't what he is? As my mother said, they all do it. I mean, she used to say it when Rockefeller died on his secretary's. Did you know that story? Many of you don't even know that story. I told it to a young fellow the other day. He was shocked to hear the governor, Nelson Rockefeller, back in the 60s, was having a dalliance with his secretary in his office off Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. He was only in his 50s, but he was a big man, Rockefeller. He had a heart attack, a little HA, and collapsed and died on his secretary's body on the desk in his office. She couldn't get out from underneath him, so she called the equivalent of 911 then, which was operator. And they had to send in police, her body. They got him off her. And that was a story. I mean, you know, so it's gone on for a long time. It's not shocking that Al Gore might be a crazed sex poodle. Who else could come up with a concocted story about global warming? I mean, you know, global warming is finished when Paul McCartney, who never went past the fifth grade, says that anyone who denies global warming is equal to a Holocaust denier. You know it's finished. So there it is. That's what else is in the news? Well, Chicago bombshell. That one of Blagojevich, remember Governor Blagojevich, the guy with the hair? Well, he's on trial, right? Well, one of his aides said that Obama knew of a plot to trade a cabinet post for appointing Jarrett to the Senate. If they could prove it, it's the end of the presidency. They're not going to prove it. That's all. It's just not going to happen. Rahm delivered the list. No kidding. What, corrupt Chicago politics? I'm shocked. I'm just shocked that there's any corruption in the Obama administration. Now, what I really want to talk about today, is anyone out there, what, the tornado got you in the heat wave in New York? What is there's no ball game, isn't there? The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I want to speak today about the greatest scandal in the history of the Obama administration to date, which is McKristallnacht. McKristallnacht is what I'm calling it. Conduct unbecoming a president. You see, Obama, along with sycophants in both Diem and Repub Party, have conducted a McKristallnacht, which is a public character assassination of General Stanley McChrystal. Now, in terms of Obama's role in the civilian coup, it really constitutes conduct unbecoming of a president. Now, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman is an offense outlined by Article 133 of the United States Uniform Code of Military Justice. Article 133 states that the kind of behavior defined as unbecoming is, quote, action or behavior in an official capacity which, in dishonoring or disgracing the person as an officer, seriously compromises the officer's character as a gentleman, close quote. Article 133 then lists the attributes which constitute conduct unbecoming. They are as follows: acts of dishonesty, unfair dealing, indecency, indecorum, lawlessness, injustice, or cruelty. Now, none of those apply to McChrystal. Some of them apply to Obama. Because anyone found guilty of these acts or omissions are subject to court-martial defined in the punitive code. Now, there are some of you who might say that Obama is not in the military and so shouldn't be subject to these rules, but you will be wrong. You would be wrong. The entire left-wing media has been gloating over the fact that Obama is now the commander-in-chief of the armed forces ever since he called McChrystal back to Washington. So Obama is not only in the military, he in fact is the head of the military and therefore subject to its own laws. Now, remember, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman is defined by one, acts of dishonesty. One, Obama has been dishonest about why he got rid of McChrystal. It's clear this has nothing to do with McChrystal being insubordinate and everything to do with many, many other factors. Two, unfair dealing. Obama has dealt unfairly with many different things from the time he's seized power. Three, indecency. Obama has had the indecency to shackle our troops with rules of engagement that will prevent them from ever winning in Afghanistan. Four, indecorum. Obama's indecorous and imperious removal of McChrystal embarrasses and undermines the command structure of the military. His bowing to the Saudi dictator and the dictators of China is also an act of indecorum. Five, lawlessness. Obama has displayed his lawlessness on forcing through health care, on forcing through illegal bailouts, and in numerous other areas. But his violations of the military command structure and his extra-legal conduct in dictating over the military are perhaps the most dangerous lawlessness of all. Six, injustice. Obama's refusal to even give McChrystal a fair hearing is the height of injustice. Seven, cruelty. Obama has cruelly left our army in Afghanistan without a real commander who has real combat experience. I say on each count he demonstrates conduct unbecoming of a president. It's one man's opinion. Now, I want to go into McKristallnacht Part 2, because McKristallnacht has left our troops in Afghanistan without a real leader. What they have now are desk admirals and desk generals running the war. And this, combined with the fact that the rules of engagement prevent our military from killing the enemy, is a recipe for continued disaster. You know, the rules of engagement used to be, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. But under Bill Clinton, and given the recent news about Al Gore, it seems as if the rules of engagement have now become, don't fire until you see the whites of their thighs. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage. Heart and soul. I fell in love with you. Heart and soul. The way a fool would do.
We do not have that luxury, those of us in uniform. We do not have the right, nor should we ever assume the prerogative, to cast doubt upon the ability or mock the motives of our civilian leaders.
Hold on. Elected, did you hear what Mike Mullen said, the usher? Mike Mullen, the most powerful man in the history of the military, the son of a PR agent. His mother worked for Jimmy Durante. Nothing wrong with that. I like Jimmy Durante. Mullen, one of the Stepford wives of Obama, Admiral Mullen, says we do not have the right or prerogative to cast doubt on the ability or mock motives of civilian leaders. Excuse me? Are you kidding me? We're now living in a total dictatorship because the thin-skinned narcissist Obama is in office? They can't even question any of his aides or any of his decisions. Remember, McChrystal followed his orders. He did not violate any of the orders that were given to him. All they did was mock a few of the civilian leaders. That's the nation that liberals want to live in? That any doubts? You know what I love about these fraudulent bums called liberals is all through the 70s, question authority. All through Berkeley, California, you saw bumper stickers. Question authority. So you mean when General McChrystal, a genuine war hero, questions the doofus vice president, who everyone laughs at behind his back, that is now a crime? Look, you're missing the whole point. McChrystal was let go for other reasons. It had nothing to do with what his aide said. This has something to do with other things. And I only have a suspicion that I know what these other things are. Now, one of the lines of my questioning, you know, you got to understand I'm a free thinker. Let me start with that so that you don't try to put up a blockade to what I'm about to say to you in advance. If any of you have listened to me for any number of years or months, you know who I am by now. I tend to go where the truth takes me, which is probably the most dangerous area in the media, the most dangerous road to take in the media today. I really don't represent either party, truthfully. I invented the word independent in the media. So let me just continue down this road now that I've laid the groundwork. I believe that McChrystal may have been fired because of APAC, American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. I know you're going to find that shocking. Because, he's a knee-jerk conservative Zionist. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong about me. I investigated where Petraeus stands and where McChrystal stands on the Israel-Palestinian question. And I believe we have evidence to suspect, at least, and someone would have to do much more research on this than me, that McChrystal said the only way we're going to win in Afghanistan is if there's peace in the Middle East and the Palestinians are basically given their rights or a nation. And Petraeus is more or less in line with the other school, which is Israel uber alles, that Israel can never be wrong. I'm just laying it on the line. I mean, I think that there's a high probability that there are other factors in McChrystal's demise. Because what he actually said is benign. There's nothing there. Despite what the vermin in the media alleged that he said, a bullcrap artist like Andy Mitchell and that puffball vermin, two of the biggest liars in the history of the media, made it sound as though he actually didn't follow orders. He did follow orders. He's a great general. He's a great man. He's 1,000 times the man that fat slob Chris Matthews is, that punk liar with a big mouth in Washington. All he does is shoot his mouth off and spray spittle at people. McChrystal is the real deal. McChrystal is True Grit. He didn't get fired because he didn't follow orders. He followed them quite specifically. So some of his aides said a few things about the thin-skinned one. Big deal. Big deal. If Obama was a real leader of men, he would have just brushed it aside. The first thing he would have said was, where did this appear? Rolling Stone? What do I care what Rolling Stone writes? It's a magazine for drug addicts. You know, I'm the president of the United States. Instead, we have a president quoting Rolling Stone. It just shows you where the policy is coming from. And it just shows you who's advising him. It shows you how far we have fallen as a nation. That a group of bong smokers out of Harvard read Rolling Stone and go run to the president like little sissies. Ooh, 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 get your skateboards out. Ooh, look what they said about you. Ooh. That's why we are in the shape we're in. That's why the oil spill is getting worse, not better. That's why the confidence in this imposter is an all-time low. According to a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, Americans are now more down about their country and Obama than at any point since the new administration began. Because the people ultimately are finding out what's going on here. So, I've made my point, and I think that there's no point in beating it to death. The real issue is, why are we in Afghanistan? For over a year or more now, I've said we should leave Afghanistan. There's no reason to be there. Nobody knows why we're there. Nobody knows why we are there. Nobody knows what they're fighting for. Ask the fighting men on the ground. They have no idea what they're fighting for. They don't know. And what's amazing to me is the frauds on the left who are against the war in Iraq and kept egging on a war in Afghanistan, they themselves are responsible for the deaths in Afghanistan. There's no reason to be there. As I said to you, you're not using common sense. Again, you're buying the big lie. Here's the big lie, that unless we prevent the Taliban from taking over the country, It will become a haven for Al-Qaeda, and they'll come from all around the world. And I say, good, let them come. I would say we should withdraw. There should be a giant sucking sound as our troops leave. We should redeploy our weaponry somewhere in the area and keep the army somewhere in the surrounding area and let all of Al-Qaeda's throwbacks from around the world, from Dearborn, Brooklyn, San Francisco, wherever they are, fly there to fight for their beliefs. Then they will have a state, and then we will have an enemy with a state, and then we no longer hear that we don't have an enemy with a state, and we can use the high-tech weapons that we have and wipe them off the planet. What's wrong with my theory? No, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's hot in New York right now, so they can't think. It's hot in Houston. They can't think. People, I imagine people, I don't know, they're not thinking today. I'm looking at my affiliate list. It's pretty big. It's a big list of people here listening to the show. The third largest radio show in America, there's not a thinking person listening. All right, it's hot, it's summertime. So play a song for them. Play Summertime, 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 Summertime. That's their one. Mine is on hamburgers, chomping down a burger with Obama. See that picture of him? My God. Talk about a picture. One picture's worth a thousand words. Alfred E. Newman. Alfred E. Newman. High Times at Ridgemont High School. High Times at White House High. All right, it's not funny. Turn it off. I don't know. I don't even have a hangover today. I didn't even drink last night. I'm not depressed. You got to understand. The show is like a natural kind of, you know, evolutionary, organic show. It evolves into what I'm feeling. I'm feeling numb. I'm feeling numb from Obama, but I'm feeling more numb by how gullible the American people are, that they could hook, line, and sinker whatever the vermin in the media throw at you, you buy. Whatever the vermin throw at you, you buy. Andy Mitchell, one of the worst skunks in the history of the world is Andrea Mitchell, along with that foul-mouthed spitter, Chris Matthews, ripping McChrystal to shreds. He's 1,000 times the man that the two of them are together. And you buy the lie, the insubordinate. You don't even know what the hell the word means. You don't know what the hell the word means. Obama has been insubordinate to the U.S. Constitution, by the way.
Savage. I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. About a working all summer just to try to own a car.
Yeah, this is so loud, man. It's cacophonic. Horrible. I almost got a migraine like a petite mal attack. It was so horrible. It's too hot. I mean, the whole thing, I hate the summer to begin with. I can't wait till the winter already. Just beginning. It's torture for me. 3 months now of torment, of heat. You know, I was eating the most delicious peach I could remember. I've always loved peaches, by the way. And they make a new one, like an odd-shaped peach. It's the sweetest thing I've ever eaten. I eat only organic fruit, by the way. Real men only eat organic. And I was enjoying it, and I said to myself as a joke, to Mrs. S. I said, do you realize how moronic Al Gore and his global warming idiots are? I said, do you realize I'm enjoying this peach specifically because of global warming? And she laughed hysterically. She says, why, God, you're right. She said, was it not for global warming, had the ice age not retracted, we wouldn't have peaches. We'd be hunting like blubber-rich animals. They have no idea what the hell they're talking about. Most of them are science illiterates. Without carbon dioxide, we'd be dead. All of plant life depends upon carbon dioxide. I mean, they're so stupid. It's beyond belief. Fifth graders know more than they do. All in a peach. You can see the world through a peach. So, all right, you don't want to hear any of this either. I could just feel it. I just know. I can sense. I have a sixth sense about this stuff. It doesn't matter what I'm analyzing for you. You don't care. Analyze this. Houston Dave, you're on the Savage Nation from Houston, Texas. How are you, Dave?
All right, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to suggest to you that you talk about your sailboat today or tell us a story about Teddy or something.
I know. I can. It's boring. Isn't it boring for me to talk about a dog?
Sometimes your stories, I find them fun to listen to.
I know. Well, what's going on down in Houston that you wanted me to just get trivial or light? What's the reason?
It's a nice day out. It rained earlier, but it's nice now.
So what is it? You know everything about Obama there is to know, that he's an illegitimate narcissist and he shouldn't be there? Is that it?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, well, I don't know. I want to talk about a dog. I don't know what to say about him. He's cute. But now I'm looking at him with a whole different set of eyes. He's already five. He's already turned the corner. Let's say a dog lives 10 and a small dog lives longer, 15, 18. It's already, I could see it's too late. It's no longer puppy with unlimited future. So I'm getting depressed looking at him now. I can't explain it. I'm very fatalistic about these things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, how much attention can you give an animal that's going to die on you one day? I already have two boxes with the last two. I remember the last one, Snowy, my Sheltie. I loved that dog. I had it from the time the children were still in the house until 12, 13 years later. And I have pictures of her, like, little lassie jumping over fences, running in the country. And the last scene is her laying there with an eye dimming and the light going out of her eye. As I talked to her, she was blind and deaf and called out her name. And I saw the light go out of her eye. I mean, you want me to talk about, you know, dust to the wind? You want me to get biblical on you right now? I can do the Bible if you'd rather, because that's about all that's left. I'm not going to do the Bible. That burns up. The whole audience disappears because you don't want me to, you know, because the Bible's too serious. You don't want to hear any unwelcome truths about reality. Truthfully, you don't. I'm in a weird mood today because the days are getting worse. When I see a man as fine as McChrystal getting sacked by a man as characterless as Obama, that's one thing. That was bad enough. But then when I see the so-called conservative media leaping on McChrystal's back and stabbing him in the back as he goes down, I couldn't believe what I was watching. You know, there's been virtually no support for McChrystal across the entire media landscape, incidentally. Either they're foolish or they don't know what the hell is really going on and they're all following each other's leads. I couldn't believe what I was watching here. Now, I want to get back to why I think it may be AIPAC who shafted McChrystal. Many of you Israel lovers are not going to like this, but, you know, I go where the truth leads me. I have an article from June 22nd, 2010, which happens to be 2 days ago, from a left-wing blog, which says General McChrystal is the most progressive member of the Obama administration when it comes to the Middle East. You know what progressive is a code word for, don't you? He gave a speech at a college on the Arab-Israeli conflict. And what he said was, the U.S. needs to impose a just peace on the Israeli-Arab conflict. And the left-wing blog says this stands out in face of Hillary and Biden's frequent comments on the need to assure Israel the U.S. is their best friend. See? So I think that there's something more to this than meets the eye, a lot more. There's a lot more. There's a lot more, and when McChrystal makes an honest assessment on the Afghan war, and he's fired for it, that's one thing. But there's more behind the scenes. It's his previous statements on the need for peace in the Middle East for the sake of Afghan policy, you see. And so I think that McChrystal was not in the camp of the Israel side. Let's put it to you that way. Maybe he was not, he was neutral or actually on the other side. We don't know. But I think that's part of the reason he's out. I don't know if that's true, but it's going to take somebody who knows more about this than me to follow up this lead. You know, steal this idea. I'll give you an Abby Hoffman. Steal this idea and take it for your own. Just write a good article on it. Now that I have conducted business today, ladies and gentlemen, we can relax. Remember when you were in school on a summer day? No one's in school anymore. The children are home already. I could see the idiots. They're bouncing basketballs on the garage doors already. The goons, they don't know what to do already. I don't know. I don't know what you do with a 12, 13-year-old boy. Bang, basketball against the doors. All of the suburbs, the sound of the summer is here. The Goonie Birds are home, hitting garage doors with basketballs. In China, they're studying like with 20 hours a day to advance themselves. Here, the idiots are still throwing a ball in a hoop. Oh, God, what's coming is a nightmare. What's coming to this country? Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about anything or not? But what I ate for dinner, you'd rather hear. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfectly fine. All of my infirmities are gone. I'm fine again. The voice is back. You don't know what it's like when you lose your voice for 3 days. It's terrifying. It's like a surgeon losing his vision. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like Obama losing a hamburger while talking to Medvedev. That's some picture. Did you see that? What a picture of a president chomping on a burger. My God, who took that? How does anyone get a picture like that? How does an AP photographer get that picture? You talk about insubordination. I wonder if that AP photographer is not going to be fired. Talking about the famous chomping the burger picture of Obama, where you see the real, you know, the when he let his hair down, so to speak. So I posted it on michaelsavage.com. Drudge had it up earlier, then he dropped it. He got scared. So he put up some other. What did he put up? The Gore thing with the poodle? Why is that a big story, Al Gore? Because I told you why. They're using it to cover up Obama's failures with the Gulf cleanup, his failures in Afghanistan, his failures with the economy, his failures with unemployment. So they're throwing now a skirt in your face. Some old dirtbag masseuse from Oregon, an old story from 3 years ago. That's newsworthy. That Al Gore leapt on her and gave her a French kiss. I mean, it's disgusting, yes. The idea of Al Gore doing the French kiss, I can believe because he did it to Tipper. That alone was worthy of a divorce. Any man married for that number of years who still French kisses his wife is suspect for mental disability. I don't understand that. Who would do that to a wife of 39 years? In front of people, no less. It's bad enough if he would have done that in private, but to do that in front of everybody to show, oh, we invented love story, the guy's off the beam. And her with the camera, oh, what, did we miss a bullet with them? So you wondered why the divorce came up. Then Larry David's ex-wife? What a one to pick on to have an affair with. So you want to talk about Navy? I don't want to talk about the Navy. The Navy doesn't exist anymore under Admiral Mullen. The Navy has become floating birthing clinics. Birthing clinics with propellers is the new Navy. They take children off the streets of America. And they put them on ships to have children so that the government can pay for them. It's nice, very nice. Obstetrics wards on these ships. They spend more money worrying about health care for the children that they hire in the Navy than they do on how to defeat the Taliban. When has the Navy last fired a shot? The last shot I know the Navy fired was the Navy SEAL snipers who killed two pirates. And they were punished for that behind the scenes because the boss man didn't give them the permission. He's busy playing golf during that time period. They snuck a few shots in. 1-800-449-8255. How come you are not saying anything about the fact that none of your conservative leaders have supported McChrystal? They all stabbed him in the back, including the biggest shame of them all is McCain. Of all the people who should have gone to bat for McChrystal, it should have been McCain. It's horrible to believe that he would stab McChrystal. Yeah, McChrystal's 10 times the officer that McCain ever was. McChrystal is everything that McCain couldn't be, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now that I can guarantee you that McCain was jealous of McChrystal's realities as opposed to his own. You understand that? Obama's speech on Russian partnership. You know that Russian warships are in San Francisco right now for the first time in over 163 years? They've never been here. I thought there was a coup. The same day that McChrystal was fired, I woke up to see four Russian warships out of my apartment in San Francisco. I was going to go by look at them this Sunday on the boat, but I don't know. What's there to see? They all look alike. There's no difference anymore. There's Japanese ships outside my window looking down. Then there's Russian ships at another pier. They all look the same. You can't tell a difference. They're all like... It's like cars today. Other than a few cars, they all look exactly alike. Like you can't tell the difference between a Honda and a Mercedes, by and large. They all look the same. They're like all the designers copy each other. Fundamentally, low profile, you know, guided missile cruisers, no portholes. No one even tell what Navy they're in anymore. It's all one Navy. But I can guarantee you the Ruskies don't have them as birthing clinics. That I can guarantee you they're not floating around so they can take children from the streets of Kiev and have them give birth on a ship. But they didn't do very much with the pirates either when you think about it. If I remember correctly, the Portuguese Navy had to take on the pirates, you hear? I didn't even know Portugal still had a Navy. That's, by the way, where the liquor drink port came from. You don't know about that. I don't want to go into it, but that's where the word port came from. Port is actually spoiled wine. I hate port, by the way. Do you drink port? That's such a like feminine thing to drink. I mean, even in a bad play, you wouldn't even drink port anymore. Port's a disgusting drink, and yet it brings a big dollar, old port. I know I'm going to get a guy who's going to call who says he loves it. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so I'm a simpler guy, truthfully. I can't stand port. It originated from shipping wine that went bad in ships. It became port wine. Now it's developed already into something very expensive because it's expensive, it's good. There's a lot of things that are expensive that are no good, incidentally. And a lot of things that are inexpensive that are quite good. Let's talk about that for a minute. No, I can just, I don't feel a grip today on the show. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I was going to take the day off because of the McChrystal firing. I got very angry that nobody else in the media went to bat for him. I don't even know the guy. I just feel very, very weak and defenseless when I see a man of that quality getting canned by a man as anti-American as Obama and as un-American as Obama and as anti-military as an Obama. I can't believe that this is not a bigger issue is what it comes down to. The last time this happened was in 1951 or so when, as you well know, Truman fired MacArthur, but the schmucks in the media who say it's a comparison don't know what the hell they're talking about. I know what it was about. MacArthur wanted to go to war with China. He clearly was in opposition to Truman's plans. That was another story. Here, McChrystal did not fight Obama on any policy. There were some mild comments made over a drink, couple of drinks, in an Irish bar in Paris. And none of them were against Obama. They were against the schmucks around Obama, the putzes from Harvard, the schmuck grifters from the business world around Obama who are profiting from the war. So that's the whole story. Well, what do you want to talk about? Is this a big enough topic to talk about it? I think it is, but all right, you don't think so, so we'll move on. We can move on. By the way, I'm still banned in Britain. Apparently the new government under Cameron has not taken my name off the list yet. I don't know. There's no reason to worry about that. I'm not going to go over there then. Where am I going to go? Well, I don't want to go anywhere anyway. You think if they took my name off the list, I'd go? I might go look at my plants, at plant specimens in the Kew Gardens. You experts on global warming. Well, I was collecting plants in the rainforest in 1969. You weren't even born, most of you schmucks. I'll be back.
Savage.
It's summertime.
All right, so it's summertime. The kids are home bouncing balls against garage doors. Whatever happened to camp or working? I worked during the summer. I worked every summer of my life. What, the little children can't work? The poor little white boys might get their hands dirty? They can't find a job somewhere? They ought to take some of the jobs the illegal aliens are leaving in Arizona. Come out from behind their little cloistered houses there. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Larry in Chicago, next up on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage, for number one, taking the bullets for free speech. You had talked about why the conservatives are not sticking up for General McChrystal. To begin with, Senator McShame, as I call him, he stands on principles of what it is as far as taking the high road, taking the high ground. Problem is that the world does not operate by that. That's the biblical principles, but you see, the world doesn't operate that.
Well, you're saying that McCain took the high road by stabbing McChrystal in the back and supporting Obama?
No, what I mean by taking the high road is standing on his principles of, you know, not criticizing your superiors. However,
but hold on, let me quote something. All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. What do you think about that?
Wholeheartedly, but the point of the matter is,
all that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. That means not speaking out against Obama, and that means sitting like a dunce when he fires a man 10,000 times better than himself.
I don't disagree with you.
And I think America is a much worse place, that we're sitting here silently while a good man has been shafted. You know, I'm relating to this perhaps personally because it happened to me with England and nobody came to my aid. Maybe that's why I'm coming to the aid of McChrystal. Nobody's speaking out for the guy, despite all of the risks to his own life that he has taken on behalf of the American people. He's been thrown away like a gutter rat. They have more sympathy for a mass murderer, for God's sakes. Look, if this keeps up, I'm just going to read from the Bible. Here, Deuteronomy. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. This is interesting stuff, Deuteronomy. Heavy duty. Heavy duty. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass, or his ox fallen down by the way. You see, everything is in the Annunciation. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam, meaning the female bird, with the young, thou shalt in any wise let the dam, meaning the girl bird, go. But the young thou mayest take unto thyself. Now, why would the ancient olive growers who wrote the Bible have such wisdom as to say, don't kill the female of the species? Because they knew that if you did, you'd have no more eggs, schmuck. But the people were so stupid then that they had to have a rule book. So the rule book, the Bible said, okay, if you find a nest on the ground, you can take the egg, you can take the young birds, but you got to put the lady bird back in the nest, or else you'll have no birds left and no eggs. The people were so stupid that if there was no rule book, they would have killed the woman bird. The same today, people are still stupid. So I write the Bible for you. I write the political Bible for you. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the fullness of the seed which thou hast sown be forfeited together with the increase of the vineyard. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a mingled stuff, wool and linen together. See, this is interesting. If a man take a wife, if any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and lay wanton charges against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came nigh to her, I found not in her the tokens of virginity. See, now I got your attention. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. Ooh, please, those old rabbis, you had to bring them a skirt? Ugh, it's very much like Clinton and Lewinsky here. It's already starting to border on the gore with the masseuse now. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath laid wanton charges, saying, I found not in thy daughter the tokens of virginity. And yet look at the skirt, it is clean. He is spreading lies.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All the white girls strutting around with eyeglasses and dogs. That's the future of America. Mother had 2-3 children. The daughter's walking around with a dog, like a handbag. The death of the West, Spengler was so ahead of his time. Otto Spengler, the death of the West. He predicted that the Asiatic peoples would rise and that the others would fall. He saw it in 1910, 1912, so, you know, it's part of history. We're all going to, you know, we're in a handbasket. You may as well enjoy it. Here, let me give you an example of one of the reasons we're dying as a people. It's called lawyers. Tort lawyers who put Obama in power, they're one of the special interest groups that put this character in power, are the people who sue everybody for nothing. So here's a story. Wheelchair-bound man sues Bronx Zoo over access. A wheelchair-bound victim says trying to get around the Bronx Zoo is just beastly. Modesto Hernandez filed suit against the Bronx Zoo, claiming that excessive slopes and lack of proper handrails keep him from making his way around the animal exhibits. Can't use water fountains and bathrooms. The lawsuit, which charges violations of the Disgusting Americans with Disabilities Act and the state's human rights law, seeks unspecified damages in an order mandating alterations so the zoo is, quote, accessible and usable by individuals with disabilities. Now, you know it's going to break the Bronx Zoo. I just came from a hole-in-the-wall Japanese restaurant that I eat in once in a while, a little hole-in-the-wall near where I live. Nice guy, Tokyo guy, always jokes around with me, you know. He says to me, Mike, is there anything you can do for me? He said, there's a guy who goes around suing little restaurants for disability stuff. I said, a gangster? What's his name? And he showed me the guy's name. He speaks broken English, but he had the man's name written down, which I'm not going to repeat right now. He said he broke a few small restaurants up in San Rafael, and now he's after me. He said he's suing me for $40,000, $60,000. I don't know what the number is. He said it's going to bankrupt me. I mean, he's a small guy with a little, you know, hole in the wall. He said, it's just killing me. I said, well, there's very little you can do. I said, I know an owner of a Chinese restaurant was broken by this. I said, there's a criminal class of lawyer, and there's a criminal class of people in wheelchairs that make a living off of this. And he said to me something along the lines of, well, I didn't want to go into what he said. Wheelchair-bound man sues Bronx Zoo over access. So the vermin with law degrees who pursue these lawsuits are one of the main reasons America's dying, period. Now, what's coming next? Are we going to see lawsuits from the blind because they can't be airline pilots? Or lawsuits from the blind because they can't see the Grand Canyon? And they want the Grand Canyon to have Braille put on it? What is going to be next? Do you understand how insane this is? I mean, the guy has a right to see the place, but he has no right to sue just because he's got a disability and a physical problem. Is he going to now sue the people of the United States of America because there is no elevator inside the Statue of Liberty? Are the blind going to sue the National Park System because they can't see the Grand Tetons? It's unbelievable to me. A person has limitations. It's sad. So what is it? Everyone else should bend their hands and knees over that? Everyone should get on their hands and knees because Mr. Hernandez can't see the Bronx Zoo? I'd like to see his lawyer's name. I'd find his home address for you. I'd like to see the lawyer's name for this lawsuit. I'll give you his home address and where his daughter goes to school. It's the lawyers. I don't blame Mr. Hernandez. I blame the lawyers. The vermin who come out of these mills with law degrees. So, what can I tell you? The reason he gets away with it is because the presidents can't break. They cannot break the American Trial Lawyers Association, which is a criminal organization, in my opinion. And certainly we need attorneys. Everybody needs attorneys to do business in this country. But cases like this show you why lawyers are hated so. And it shows you why we have Obama as president. I see in the Hamptons they're renting out their houses as a bed and breakfast now. It's an interesting story. Who would have advertised that? Rosalind Cardesino has a 12,000-square-foot East Hampton villa that she and her husband built. They built it 5 years ago, blah, 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 66-foot heated indoor pool, blah, blah, blah. Since March, the couple has been renting out two of their four bedrooms for $295 to $695 a night. And they make up the beds, and then they cook breakfast for them. Could you ever do that? I could never do that. I'm going to invite strangers in my house? I can't sleep when there are family members in my house. The Cardesinos aren't the only Hamptonites who've decided to open their homes to paying guests through the tough financial times. Why would you want to be seen like that as a loser? It means that you never could afford it to begin with. So what'd you build it for? To show off that you're a rich man, you schmuck? You're an artist. You should be downtown somewhere in a junker in Williamsburg. You never belonged in the East Hamptons. You couldn't afford it, but you had to build it to show everybody you were a big shot, a big gee. Built the house 12,000 square feet. Now he's on his behind. He has to rent out rooms. Look what they say. We even invite guests to watch us work in the art studio. Oh, how exciting to watch two old artists smear garbage on a piece of canvas. And we've actually sold some of our work to guests that way. Yeah. Here's another one, Melstein. Stephanie Melstein. Since 08, Melstein has rented out two rooms year-round in the gray shingled house she bought 11 years ago. She sometimes sleeps in the unfinished basement to accommodate guests, spending between $275 and $475 a night. I don't like the whole bed and breakfast thing to begin with. Ooh, it's too close for me. Very claustrophobic. And then you have to eat the food that they make. Ugh, disgusting. Unsanitary at any speed. Speaking of unsanitary, there's a great article about the lunacy of the liberal mindset, exemplified in an even more dramatic way today with a shopping bag. You know how the loony birds on the left like recycled shopping bags? You've seen them in the markets, haven't you? Well, no, we don't use paper or plastic. We We recycle. We bring in our own bag. We use it over and over again. You know the type. 60 years old, still wearing jeans, still thinks she's in high school, still listening to Paul McCartney. Planet-saving shopper. She brings in a reusable bag, right? It's reusable. Yeah, I'm just from the environment. Upper West Side environmentalist. Well, what they don't know is that these natural bags are full of bacteria. They're not self-cleaning, you see. Gertie, the bags are not self-cleaning. You would have been better off with a paper bag or a plastic bag, idiot. University did a research, and guess what? They're filled with everything imaginable, including E. coli. And particularly, by the way, if you put meat and vegetables in the same reusable bag, you're contaminating the vegetables, idiots. The researchers tested 84 of the bags for bacteria. Talk about bag ladies. They found whopping amounts in all but one bag and coliform bacteria in half of the bags. And yes, the much-feared E. coli was among them in 12% of the reusable shopping bags. I realize that this is going to shock many of you because you're saving the planet. You want to ban single-use plastic bags? You want to ban paper bags? Well, you ought to be aware of the fact that the bags you're carrying, all of you bag ladies on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and in the other denizens of stupidity, you're actually contaminating the food that you're carrying in it. I guess you thought that the bag cleaned itself. Or would you think the bacteria are natural, like the dope you smoke? I'll be right back.
Savage.
But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
You turn it off. I don't like the Beatles. I didn't like them when I was young and wearing bell bottoms. I was just looking for girls. Now, attention to all you planet-saving shoppers. You know what I'm talking about. All of you who march around with a self-righteous look because you have a bag that you take, and it's like recycling. The only people who benefit from the recycling are the people in a recycling racket. But let's go into the planet-saving shoppers marching around with the self-righteous bags.
Oh, no paper, no plastic for me.
So researchers go in, and they ask some of these shoppers if they wash the reusable bags. The researchers are met by blank stares. 97% of shoppers said that they do not ever wash the bags. And most of them said they don't use separate bags for meats and for vegetables. And a third said they use the recyclable bags for storing snacks, toting books, etc. So then they test 84 of the bags for bacteria, and they find coliform bacteria and E. coli in the bags. So there it is. There are about 76 million cases of foodborne illness in the United States every year. Most originate in the home from improper cooking or handling of foods. And reusable bags, if not properly washed, create the potential for cross-contamination of foods. So you put raw meat or products and foods traditionally eaten uncooked, like fruits and vegetables, that you carry in the bag, either together or between them, and the risk increases of the bacteria in the bags. So the next time you vote for one of these moronic laws that would ban plastic bags or paper bags, kindly acknowledge that you know about as much about bacteriology as Al Gore knows about climatology. The way of a fool is straight in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearkeneth unto counsel. I like this one. He that breatheth forth truth uttereth righteousness, but a false witness deceit clean. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that devise evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Who knows? What the hell was like a bad record. Some of this makes sense. Some was written good, under a good day. He had a good lamb stew one night and enough vegetables. He wrote a good proverb. The next day was bad. You're going to believe every one of them don't make sense. Some of them are right on the money here. Some of them are here. The slothful man shall not hunt his prey, but the precious substance of men is to be diligent. I have no idea what that means. A wise son is instructed of his father, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. All right, that means to tell your son to shut his mouth and listen. He that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but for him that openeth wide his lips there shall be ruin. That's Chavez's Castro's country coming to a neighborhood near you. The teachings of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death Yeah, good luck to you. You live forever if you read the Bible. See, that's the problem with the whole thing, is that even if you get, you know, still going to drop dead at the end, you don't know where what's on the other side. You're taking a gamble. You're gambling. You're just gambling that there's an afterlife and you get a reward. And what's the reward? Since you don't know about it anyway, see, there's no win here. That's the terrible thing. You see, no matter how you twist it, no matter how religious you are, it still doesn't matter. Because you're still full of doubt about the next world. I don't care who you are. If you're not, then you're a real lunatic. If you're sure that there's another world with a gold chair because you were good here, oh, my God. You probably voted for Jimmy Carter. And you're probably a planet-saving shopper Republican. A Republican planet-saving shopper. Imagine that if you got this. That's oxymoronic. A Republican. No, there'd be Republican planet-saving shoppers. That'd be good, like, if you're looking for, like, dates, like eHarmony. Why don't you plug that into your eHarmony account? Planet-saving shopper seeks same. You can meet over like a bag together. You go buy shopping bags together. Can you imagine that? I don't know how that works. Because I came from another age. We didn't do that. It was like on the Natch. You met someone in the street and talked to them. Or whatever. Now it's like, how do you do this by computer? I don't get it. Okay, Rush Limbaugh I can understand because he doesn't have the gift of gab. He has to do it by computer to meet young girls and give away half the estate each time. Figure five more wives, there'd be nothing left. He'll be living in a dugout somewhere. Planet-saving shopper. See, that's the problem. Is when you really get into the whole thing about death and dying, that's what it really comes down to. You fear, you see, like a bad politician makes you fear that the country's dying, right? And a good politician makes you feel that the country's getting better and you're going to live in and everything, your children are going to have a good life. Obama, you know, is the opposite. You know he's killing America as sure as you're standing here, ruining it, inherited a $1 trillion deficit, made it $4 trillion. Surrounded by corruption unlike any ever seen in American history. Never before seen. One corruption scandal after another covered up by the vermin in the media. So you feel like the country's dying because it is. That's all. Now you come to your own personal fate. And so that becomes an issue. So let's say you've towed the line, you've done the best you could, you've only cheated, lied, and stolen a little along the way. Not big. And you figure, all right, so you're not as good as you wanted to be, but you're better than you could have been done, certainly you didn't do. Or you're recovering this or that, and you think you're going to be rewarded for it. But what if you don't get rewarded for it? What if you could have just continued to be bad? You ever think about that? What if you just could have, and the same end would have happened? You would have lived the same exact time period, suffered the same fate. What I mean, yeah, the wages of sin are death. Great. And what are the wages of righteousness are? Death. Same thing. Good, good, goody two-shoes, still death and dying in front of a curtain alone in a rest home being beaten about the head and neck by some illegal alien who tries to take the small change your children bring you. What's the good of it? So you don't know which way to turn. So that's all. So you indulge yourself. You eat too much, you drink too much, and you get a headache that you get paid for. That's immediately the wages of sin and death. You overeat, you overdrink, you get sick. So that God immediately punishes you. So therefore, you don't know what to do if you're an average person and not that religious. You don't know which way to turn. Fundamentally, America is not a religious country. God-fearing, yes, but look at all the sluts in Hollywood that wear crosses. I mean, let's start with that just for a minute. Please, I don't mean to be disrespectful of the symbol. Have you ever seen any of these, like, freak shows with crosses? Cross this. I never saw anything like it. Every degenerate in Hollywood has a big cross on their neck. So what does that mean? I mean, inside they're pure? Because they wear the symbol of it? I don't get that part of it. At the end of it, we don't know really what's waiting on the other side. But here's the thing that I've always come to. No matter how much I read the Bible, it comes back to the same thing, which is this. Let's say you are rewarded. Now, let's take the other side. There is God. There is a judgment day. And you go before him. Well, I come before. What you doing? Your talk shows. What else? You did this. All right. It wasn't so bad. You could have done better. You could have been a dentist and played the accordion. You could have stayed in the Bronx and whatever. You would have died at 14. But all right. You went on. You had to be a big mouth. You wanted to do it your way. All right. It wasn't so bad. I'll tell you what, I'm going to split the difference with you. You're only going to spend 1 million years in purgatory. Then you'll come back as a toy poodle in San Francisco in 1989. You know, I mean, what's the reward? Because you don't know it anyway. The point is, you don't know what the reward is because you don't remember it. If you did, you'd know it now, what you were before.
Savage.
I got a whole lot of love for you. True, true love for you. I got a whole lot.
It is the Savage Nation. it is the Savage Nation. So you want to get heavy there about dying alone? We'll talk about planet-saving shoppers. So there's no answer to any at all of it. We're all basically eyeless in Gaza. We don't know which way to turn. We really don't. I mean, that's the problem. There's no firm belief system anymore. Not in me, nor in anyone else. I mean, I hearken back to Borders, Language, and Culture because I actually believe in this country. And I believe my greatest salvation is supporting the nation. Because I know from a historical point of view, this is the greatest country that ever existed. That's why my ancestors came here. That's why your ancestors came here. And why these left-wing vermin keep attacking it is one of the greatest problems in my life. Psychotics, all of them. Drug addicts, every last one of them, whether it's Prozac-like or hard drugs, all of them are mentally ill. All of them. It's the only explanation for attacking this great nation. So that's what animates me, is support for the nation and the idiots who attack it so repeatedly. People who live here and hate the country is the part that eats me alive. You know, I'm serious. I mean, that's the whole deal. What would you like to talk about on the Savage? Jeremiah? Where's the song, Jeremiah Was a Prophet? Isn't there a song like that? You know, Jeremiah was a prophet. Who sang that? Jeremiah was a bullfrog? I thought he was a prophet. What bullfrog? What, were they mocking Jeremiah? Can you have it? You want to play it? Here, listen to this. Why should I pardon you, says God in Jeremiah? The children have forsaken me and sworn by no gods. And when I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves in troops to the harlots' houses. They have become as well-fed horses, lusty stallions. Everyone neigheth after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Very serious, you know. Some people live by this stuff. And that's why Israel's falling, by the way. It's because it's become a godless nation to a great extent. I know this is very uncomfortable stuff. Very hard for you to bear, many of you. You look at Israel today and what it was supposed to be and what it was once. And look at what it's become. Take a look at what it's become. Just another Mediterranean nation. Basically degenerated like Athens. Doesn't matter where you go in the Mediterranean. The same thing. A godless nation. So therefore, it's falling by the same fate. It's not supported by God anymore. Some would argue that, and believe me, there are many who have argued the same thing. Don't think I'm the only one saying it. Play Bullfrog song on the Savage Nation.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink his wine. And he always had some mighty fine wine.
Attention, planet-saving shoppers. A reused shopping bag. Andrea Mitchell's like a reusable shopping bag to me. How do they keep that woman on the air? I'm never going to let up on this till she's gone. I've gotten rid of others in the media by harping on them and mocking them. I did. I've killed some careers by doing it. I'm not even going to mention which one. I'm going to keep it up until they get rid of her for what she did to McChrystal. And my happiest day will be when they throw that foul-mouthed, spittle-inducing rag out on his behind because he's such a loser. That Chris Matthews character, one of the most evil spittle faces in the history of the media, is him and Andrea. What they did to McChrystal, a man 1,000 times greater than them. I'm never going to forget this week. Never what I saw go on, because you remember, it's historic. It's the first time since the 1950s that a president did this to a commanding general during wartime. And by the way, for no reason whatsoever, he was not insubordinate. If you say so, it's because you don't even understand what the word means. He was not insubordinate. He did not even put down Obama. He only put down a few of the schmucks around Obama, every one of whom is a schmuck. Every one of whom is a schmuck. A useless schmuck who's kept us at war for no reason other than to profit from it in their own way. So, there it is. He speaks out. They say something over a few drinks with a degenerate writer from a junkie magazine. And this is what the president has become. You hear? This is what he makes the foreign policy based on. What someone said about him in Paris over a few drinks and appeared in a junkie magazine. That's some president for you. That's real high class. Give him another burger he can chomp on. Give him another burger he can chow down on. Unbelievable that you don't even understand the bigger picture here. He's basing a foreign policy decision on hearsay in a magazine article and a magazine with no bearing whatsoever on world events. A magazine written for junkies who like rock and roll. So that's the president that you have. Just shows you what they read in the White House. I guess next, if there's a rumor in the High Times about what a general said, he'll be fired. Maybe he'll give an interview to someone from High Times on a chopper flight somewhere. Portland, Oregon, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Jay?
Well, you kind of hit everything right there. I'm just depressed about the state of our country. And I think back, Doctor, about a few months ago when you made a comment, you kind of went real hard with it on where has this country gone by men and women letting people like Obama even come close to running for office. And you played it 2 days in a row, and it just stunned me.
Well, let's focus on that for a minute. A few years ago, Obama was unknown. Okay? Unknown. He did not cure polio. He did not lead a mission to Iraq. He did nothing. He was known for nothing, right? So when you realize that the 1919 World Series was fixed by a gangster, you realize that anything can be fixed, right? This election was fixed from the get-go. They put up that old shill McCain in order to throw the election to the Democrats. What they didn't know is that Obama's team would outmaneuver the Clinton team. They thought Hillary would win. You understand that?
I do.
Okay. See, they thought Hillary would get it, and then she'd take it for 8 years, blah, blah, blah. Then the Republicans would come back with the guy from whatever, Massachusetts. Around and around they go, you know. So what happened was the Obama team was so vicious and so smart, they outmaneuvered the Hillary team. And suddenly we have this guy in the White House, and take a look at the job he's doing. It's beyond comprehension.
It's a joke, Doctor, and it's so depressing. And what he did with the general, and I saw the article, and I was laughing my head off.
Which article? The reusable bags?
Yeah, that's the one. And I just thought...
Yeah, I put it on michaelsavage.com because it's an amazing article. The next time you go shopping, for example, you see one of these reusable women with a reusable shopping bag saving the planet, you could just snicker at them. You know, look, laughing at them is the best revenge, incidentally. Ultimately, the only thing you could do is sneer at them. That's what they're worthy. Thanks for the call. Man nabbed after possible terror stash found in car near G20. Another one, a man. A man. They never identify the race unless it's a white man with blonde hair. Hey, if McChrystal was a person of color, you think that Obama would have fired him? Just asking. If McChrystal was a woman, do you think Obama would have fired him? Just asking. If McChrystal was an illegal alien, think Obama would have fired him? Just asking. Police make an arrest after searching a car and finding a chainsaw, a baseball bat, and containers of gasoline near the G20 site in Toronto. But authorities say there's no evidence it's summit-related. Authorities. Are you kidding? What authorities are there in the world that you believe anymore? Authorities. Sounds like Oliver Stone was visiting. Doesn't sound like a movie director was there. Chainsaw, baseball bat, and containers of gasoline near the G20 site in Toronto. Couldn't have been Gore. It could have been Oliver Stone. Amnesty talks behind the scenes whether Homeland Security can unilaterally grant legal status on a mass basis to illegals. I don't believe this. I truly don't believe Obama would dare to do that. I don't. I just don't believe it. You want to talk about the Gore? Oh, it's boring and disgusting on top of it all. The whole Gore thing is disgusting, but they're throwing that in your face now about the Gore sex thing because Obama's in trouble with the Gulf spill. He's in trouble with Afghanistan, in trouble with firing McChrystal, because of discovery with the economy. He's done nothing that's worked. So they're, again, throwing the Lewinsky game at you. Don't you remember when Clinton was in trouble? You don't remember? His poll numbers were in the toilet. And what did the government media complex do? Bingo. Lewinsky came up front and center to get your eye off the ball, focus you on Lewinsky and the purple dress, and so that the Democrats could regroup. They're doing it again now. They're using Gore as the fall guy. They're using Gore because he's of no value to them anymore. When you think about it, that's interesting. Why would they pick on him now? That's what? There's no other sex scandal they can find other than Gore? I guess not. I mean, take a look at the other people in the White House there. I mean, maybe you ought to thank God for small favors, because it's bad enough reading about Gore and a masseuse. Could you imagine if we had to read about Larry Summers and someone? Oh, God, that would even be worse. Pick your favorite a character in the White House and try to imagine them. It's a family show. New York City, WOR, Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
How are you? Hello, infidel. How are you?
I'm so pleased to hear you and have somebody to speak up for the things we want to say.
I'm glad I can say it, too, but for how much longer do you think there's going to be free speech with the thin-skinned president in the office who doesn't like any criticism whatsoever? Think about it. If he would shoot a general like this, basically he's assassinated the man, destroyed his character for things he didn't even do. Think about this. He's taken one of the noblest of Americans and destroyed him, treated him like trash. Think of what he'll do to a talk show host that he doesn't like if he can get his hands on freedom of speech in this country. This man is a dictator. He's only waiting for the right time to strike.
We need to do something.
Yeah, do something. We're helpless because there used to be a two-party system. But guess what? Both of them are in on the gangbang. Thanks for the call. Republicans, huh? Only Sean Hannity can believe that a Republican resurgence is going to save America. Only someone whose entire life was spent putting up wallboard can believe a thing like that. What's the point of talking about it? What's this with the G20 and a chainsaw? What, these people are really stupid. What guy would show up with a chainsaw and a baseball bat and gasoline and think he's going to get anywhere with it? Maybe he was on the way to a barbecue or something. Maybe he was trying to stop global warming, he could say. He could argue that he was trying to cut down a tree to save the earth. Who is the guy, and what does he look like? Is he an American or one of our friends from the Middle East here on Asylum? Toronto. A man. They always say man. Man. They won't identify the person. If he looked like a General McChrystal already, the picture would be in the news. So you can guarantee already that he doesn't look like McChrystal or Timothy McVeigh. The man will be questioned on why he had so many of the items and why he was in the area. A police hazardous unit went through the car where some of the items were openly displayed before it was towed. Well, maybe the guy was, maybe it was work-related tools. Look at the car. You got to look at the picture of this car. What a roof rack this guy has. I've seen ugly roof racks. I would have pulled him over, too. A roof rack tied down with rope? The guy's a lunatic. A suspicious car. Flagging the vehicle for having a large makeshift container strapped to the roof. And they find inside gasoline containers, a chainsaw, a baseball bat, a crossbow, arrows, and sledgehammers. After police flagged the Hyundai Elantra, because it looked suspicious and unsafe for driving. The arrest came on the eve of the G8 and G20 summits of world leaders. I don't know, it's not here, not there. The guy just sounds like an idiot. Like a live-off-the-land type who like hunts with a crossbow. Why would you hunt an animal with a crossbow? What kind of idiot would do a thing like that? What kind of sport is that? What, do you like seeing an animal suffer? Right, tell me how great you are for killing an animal that didn't hurt anybody. Go ahead. I know now all the hunters are going to get mad at me. I know what's going to come. Now I'm going to say, oh, you elite talk show host. You don't hunt. You buy it in plastic wrappers. I buy it in plastic wrappers and Safeway. That's right. I don't like seeing an animal scream in pain. Well, what do you think they do in a stockyard? I've seen them. You drive by the stockyards. It's a horrendous thing. That's another conflict in my life, is to love animals and eat them. I mean, it's a conflict. I admit it. I do. I admit it's a conflict. I mean, I'd like to be a vegetarian, but I don't like vegetables that much, number one. I have no energy if I eat only vegetables. Dead. I need the carnitine from meat, thank you very much. See, we're omnivores. How many times have I told you we're not designed to be vegetarians? You can be a vegetarian, yes, and some vegetarians are very strong, yes, and some vegetarians can whip my butt. I know, yes, it's all true. But if you actually look at your dentures, your teeth, you'll see that you're designed to be an omnivore. You have some cutting teeth. You have some grinding teeth. And then you have four canine teeth, boys and girls. You put your fingers in your mouth, and you feel four sharp teeth, two top, two bottom. Those are meant for ripping and tearing flesh. That's the dog in you. That's the dog meant to tear flesh, because you have to eat some flesh and some vegetable and some grain. You're an omnivore. That's the key to it. But you're so confused, you don't even know what you're meant to eat. Many are lacto-ovo-vegetarian, and I only live in the morning on dew, and the sunlight and the dew, and I eat very little, one meal a day at night. They're in a nightclub being strapped to a wall, being beaten and whipped, and they voted for Al Gore. I'll be back.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling. Tis twilight time.
It is the Savage Nation. Many, many topics of the making of the news. There is no end. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Ann in Portland, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm wondering what your response is to the
the thought of eternity frightens me. And
well, I understand it frightens everybody, but look, I'm going to give you a comedic answer because it may actually help you and millions of others. You ready for this?
Okay.
When I was a little boy, I would ask my mother, God rest her soul, about death. You know, children ask those questions, and she would smile and chuckle and say, she says, I don't know what it is. She says, all I know is no one's ever come back to complain.
Okay.
And you know what? It's simple, but it worked for me. It still does. What are you going to do about what's eternal? The eternal question of the abyss, right, is what you're asking?
It's not the so much where, it's that. When I phoned up, you had triggered a thought that I try to shut down whenever it comes up. When I die, it's hard for me to envision not ever thinking again. You know, the body dies, but because I think, it's hard to think.
Yeah,
that someday...
I think therefore I am. So what you're saying is if I cease thinking, I am no longer, right?
And if I go to the other alternative, okay, no matter where I spend it, somewhere it goes on forever and ever and ever. If I think on that, I don't want to be some, I mean, infinity.
But isn't it wonderful to realize that this is a miracle, that you're alive, that I'm alive, that the people listening to the show are alive? Isn't it a wonder to pause and think about what a miracle it really is, what life really is, and what a miraculous event life is?
Yeah.
It's a miracle. So therefore, if life is a miracle, and if you believe in a grand creator who created it all, so therefore death is part of this grand enterprise called life, is it not?
Yeah.
And it's set up so that we don't know what it is. And there's a reason that mere mortals don't know what it is. So, because the grand creator doesn't want mere mortals to know what the next world is. He only wants to hint at it. He doesn't want us to know what eternity is. And so, therefore, it's the way it's set up. It's to keep us humble. It's to keep us as humans. Otherwise, we become totally megalomaniacal, thinking that we're gods. We're not gods. We're only men. It's just something we can't know. We almost have to suspend any desire to know. See, that's the point. You say, I can't resolve that. Do you remember IQ tests when you were young and your teacher told you if you hit a question you can't answer, don't get hung up on it, keep going? You remember that? This is one of those questions, Ann. You can't answer it, skip it, and go on to the next question on the intelligence test called living. That's all. Move on. You're never going to resolve it. It's broken. People have broken their minds over this from the beginning of time. You look into the dog you love or the cat you love. You realize it's going to die one day. What are you going to do? What can you can't stop it? Same with you or a child. I mean, it's a horrible thought. I told you before, when I was a little boy in Queens, New York, there was a doctor's wife who went crazy with this question. She was a mad woman. It was sad, and we knew she was crazy. She would stop even the kids. She'd stop the mailman, everybody, and look at them and hold on to their clothing. You had to, like, pull her hands off you. And she'd be crying, saying, why did God make us that we have to die? Why did God make us that we're born to die? And kids didn't know what to do with her. The poor doctor didn't know what to do with her, but he didn't ridicule her. He stayed married to her the rest of their lives. Not like today they throw out a wife like a used handkerchief because she said something wrong. It was the way it is. Some people crack up from the whole question. Others become talk show hosts. You see, there's many different ways to resolve this. You can paint, you can sculpt, you can run, you can bicycle, you can become a degenerate sex maniac, you can become a drug addict. I mean, these are all manifestations of people who cannot answer that question. Don't you understand that? These are people trying to answer the question in their own way. And that's called the human condition. That's the great tapestry that keeps God entertained. So keep on dancing, because you've got a brief dance in the sun, my friends.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
primary concern over the past few days has been to minimize the impact of these developments on the conduct of the war in Afghanistan. The President's decisions fully and satisfactorily address that concern. This is the best possible outcome to an awful situation.
Yeah, look, the big news today is the way that the entire government, media, military complex ganged up on McChrystal for stating the obvious, which is that the President and his cohorts are incompetent wimps, plain and simple. They have tied the hands of our troops behind their back, but it didn't begin with Obama. I mean, it began with Clinton Gore, where the rules of engagement went from don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes, and under Clinton Gore it became don't fire until you see the whites of their thighs. That's really what started the whole ball here. And today we've been focusing today on the scandal called McChrystalnacht and the conduct unbecoming of a president, and we spoke a great deal about it. I believe that General McChrystal was not insubordinate to Obama, but Obama has been insubordinate to the rule of law and to the U.S. Constitution. I've asked today, is Obama destroying America piece by piece because he thinks of himself as a god? Then, of course, there's the Al Gore sex story. Crazed sex poodle is what she said he was. Again, with the pants, with the stain. The question, though, is if the Al Gore sex attack story has been known for at least 2 years, why did the media decide to reveal it today? Well, to cover up McChrystal, to cover up the Gulf spill. Remember what they did with Clinton when he was in trouble, you don't remember? That's when the Lewinsky scandal became big, do you remember? To distract people from all of his failed policies. And of course, Obama is replacing real generals like McChrystal with desk jockeys. Why do you think so many so-called conservatives in the government media complex have praised Obama's decision to fire the war hero McChrystal? You see, while Obama eats hamburgers with the president of Russia, our troops in Afghanistan are on Hamburger Hill. But again, I want to go back to the Gore sex story for a minute, since they're making it a big issue today. Why have they held it for 2 years? Because they want the oil story off the papers, and they want McChrystal off the papers. They want the failure in Afghanistan off the papers. Instead, they're going to throw sex at us. And this time, Al Gore is the fall guy. The crazed sex poodle. There's something interesting in the crazed sex poodle story, by the way, which I have to read, and then I'll go on with the bodily fluids and all that, where she said, Gore, whom she portrayed as a tipsy, handsy predator, who forced her to drink Grand Marnier, pinned her to a bed and forcibly French kissed her. I'm sorry, I have to tell. And she said, Gore is a man with a violent temper as well as extremely dictatorial, commanding attitude. Underneath his Mr. Smiley global warming concerned persona, she said. After fleeing Gore's suite, the masseuse returned home to discover stains on the front of my black slacks. Let's not go there, okay? She says that she's got Gore bodily fluids in a bag somewhere. I don't know. Look, let's let it go. The fact is that we know him. You ever bought Al Gore's persona? I never did. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Let's see what's on MichaelSavage.com, because that's more important than Al Gore's pants. The latest breaking news is that an aide to Blagojevich said that Obama knew of a Blagojevich plot. A top aide to Governor Blagojevich said he believed Obama knew of Blago's plot to win himself a presidential cabinet post, in exchange for appointing Valerie Jarrett to the Senate. So in other words, it's more corrupt politics from the gutters of Chicago. Go prove it. Gore demanded sexual behavior, says the masseuse. Venezuela to nationalize U.S. firms' oil rigs. That's okay, according to Oliver Stone and Sean Penn. He's not a dictator. Oliver Stone gives Chavez a Hollywood makeover. This is frightening to see how insane Stone is. But the fact is he's a sick man. He's a very ill man, and he should be paid no attention. One writer wrote that McChrystal told the truth. You can read it on Michael Savage. That's Rowan Scarborough. Emmanuel traded political favors with Blagojevich. Blagojevich calls Obama henpecked by Michelle. Two California cities vote to support Arizona. A sanctuary city that welcomed as many illegals as they could has laid off all city workers and dismantled the police. You hear this? Elliot Spitzer gets a primetime television show. Well, he fits CNN. He's perfect for them. Hillary to State Department employee says, let teens know it's okay to be homosexual. You talk about family values? Whooping cough epidemic in California as a result of illegal aliens. They won't tell you that. It's all on MichaelSavage.com. Whooping cough is back. Where do you think it came from? The air? It came from uninoculated, unvaccinated illegal alien babies. Oh, but you don't care. You'd rather sacrifice your infants to the gods of liberalism than protect them from your own foolish politics. Healing children naturally, I must tell you about it. A to Z natural approaches for natural complaints, written by myself, only on MichaelSavage.com. On the bottom of the page, Botox paralyzes your emotions too. Now you'll understand Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi's face a little better. Obama vows to end homelessness in 10 years. That's interesting. I guess you'll have to give up your rooms. And here's a shocker. You're not going to believe this. California welfare cards are used in casino ATMs. Did you hear this? California welfare cards can be used in casino ATMs. Anyway, here we are. We're all wonderful. We're all great. At the end of the day, we're nothing. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Savage.
Hey, look, there's no question that our administration is leading us on a fast track to bankruptcy. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Robert Rector. Take a look at where this out-of-control spending is taking us.
The first thing we need to understand as a public is we're looking at the size of government and the massive deficits that are pushing us toward national bankruptcy is that the third largest type of government spending happens to be welfare spending. By that, I mean cash, food, housing, medical care for the poor. I'm not talking about Social Security and Medicare for the elderly, just spending for the poor. And in fact, for every dollar that we spend on Social Security and Medicare, we spend about 75 cents on welfare. And this is sort of like the greatest budget secret in Washington, because the left and the mainstream media like to pretend we don't spend anything on the poor. Well, in fact, we're spending close to $1 trillion a year on the poor. Now, this may be a surprise to some people who are conservatives who think that we ended welfare back in the 1990s. But the reality was that reform, and I had a part in it, was kind of grossly oversold. There are over 70 different federal programs alone that assist poor people. And in the 1990s, we reformed one of those. The most prominent one, called Aid to Families with Dependent Children. But it was only a tiny, tiny portion of the welfare state. The rest of the welfare state was still sitting there and growing like gangbusters. And even that reform that we did in the 1990s was largely gutted around 5 or 6 years ago when liberals in the Senate refused to reauthorize key elements of it. So the reality is that while we thought we ended welfare, welfare, in fact, has been the fastest growing type of government expenditure over the last 20 years, and it's projected to get even larger in the future. When Bill Clinton left office, we spent about $400 billion a year on welfare. When Bush left office, we were spending about $650 billion a year. Obama has now jacked us up to around $950 billion a year. Now, again, this is cash, food, housing, medical care, social services for poor and very low-income people.
People will say, of course spending went up. We're in a recession.
And in a certain sense, that's justified. But when you look at Obama's budget, guess what happens after the recession ends? Does the spending go back down? Absolutely not. It continues to go up. And he's projecting over $10 trillion in welfare spending over the next decade. This is a major element of this huge welfare spend-a-thon that he has going, a spread-the-wealth campaign that where we're borrowing from the Chinese in order to spread the wealth here in the United States, and the net effect of this will, in fact, be national bankruptcy. Now, we have a paper coming out where I propose trying to get a control on this. And one of the first things we need to do is to control this spending. And how should we do that? Well, I would recommend that we take all that aggregate spending, and since the left proclaims, oh, this is all a response to the recession, then say, fine, when the recession ends, let's take that spending back down to the pre-recession levels and then let it grow and give an adjustment for inflation and then let it grow at the rate of inflation. So effectively, we'd be saying, look, we'll give the same services we were giving in 2007, 2008, which were already at huge historic highs, but we're not going to have this add-on that Obama has created. We're going to bring it back down, and we're going to say in the future, we don't want more people on welfare, and we don't want the service costs to go up faster than the rate of inflation. If we did that, that would save us $1.4 trillion in spending over the next decade, and in many years, it would cut the deficit by about a third.
Yeah, but will they do that?
Really, that's we have to do that because we can't afford to do anything less as a nation. Other things that we should do in welfare. Well, one of the reforms we did in the 1990s, we said that in the program then called Aid to Families with Dependent Children, that you couldn't get something for nothing. You had to work or prepare for work as a condition for receiving aid. When we did that in that one tiny program, the caseloads fell by about two-thirds almost immediately, and work went up and poverty went down. And the reason for that is not that all welfare recipients are cheats, but that if you offer someone something for nothing, they're likely to take that, even if they don't necessarily need it. If you put a work requirement on welfare receipts and say, look, we're here to assist you if you need assistance, but we expect you to do something back. We expect you at least to undertake a supervised job search to try to find a job. When you do that, you suddenly find the number of people who are interested in getting welfare, amazingly, goes down rather dramatically. And it allows you to focus on those people that really can't find a job and really do need assistance. We should restore the work requirements in what used to be AFDC. We should create work requirements in the food stamp program for able-bodied adults. We should create work requirements in housing. We should say for any able-bodied adult on welfare, you're not going to get something for nothing. You must work or prepare for work as a condition for receiving aid.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we can do is instead of just giving and giving and giving, we spend about $23,000 a year on aid to low-income families with children for each family. And all of that is just a grant. We should say some portion of that we're going to treat as a loan. We'll give you assistance when you need the assistance, but we'll expect you to pay maybe a third, quarter of that back to us at some point in the future. I think that that would have a very sobering effect in terms of discouraging non-work and out-of-wedlock childbearing and other actions that lead to great costs to the U.S. taxpayer. The final thing that we have to do in order to reform the welfare system is to stop importing poor people from abroad.
Why do you say that?
In the last 10, 20 years, we've brought in over 10 million high school dropouts through both legal and illegal immigration. These individuals are massive users of the welfare system. In fact, we spend about $150 billion a year on welfare aid alone for low-skill immigrants, both legal and illegal. So what we need to do is to reduce the illegal population, and they get welfare by way of their children because their children they have children born in the U.S. who are instantly eligible for lots and lots of welfare. We need to reduce the illegal population by enforcing the law that says you can't hire illegals. And the way to do that is to use something called E-Verify. Secondly, we need to change the legal immigration system where even under legal immigration, we bring in massive numbers of immigrants with very low skill education levels. On average, these people are going to receive about $3 of benefits for every dollar of taxes they pay through their lives. We can't afford that as a nation. Our immigration system is really sort of currently a wealth international welfare outreach. We don't have enough people on welfare here in the U.S., so we have to reach out abroad and bring in poor people, bring in welfare recipients from abroad. And we cannot afford that as a nation. So what we need to do is change the immigration system, not to be anti-immigrant, but to say, look, the immigrants that we bring in here legally ought to be people that will benefit the U.S. taxpayer, not cost them more money. We shouldn't be importing people who are going to be an additional burden on the already overburdened U.S. taxpayer and drive us further and further into bankruptcy. We need higher skill immigrants who are going to pay more in taxes than they will take out in benefits.
Hmm.
The first and foremost thing we have to do in welfare is to recognize we didn't end welfare, even welfare as we know it. There are over 70 different programs, as I said. We're spending close to $1 trillion a year on this system now. It's the fastest growing component of the government. Of all government spending, the largest is Social Security and Medicare, then followed by education, then followed by welfare. This is it's hidden. No one tells the truth about this. And if we're going to get government spending under control, we have to get this massive system of means-tested welfare aid for the poor also under control. Control the spending, require work, treat some of the assistance as loans, and stop importing welfare dependents from abroad.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Well, thanks so much for having me on your show.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
A while back, we had Edward DeVere from the group Veterans for Strong America on the Savage Nation to talk about their Freedom Papers project. He joins us now for an update on this project. Remind us what the Freedom Papers are.
Well, Michael, the Freedom Papers are the words of American heroes who are candidates for office, speaking to those in power who are destroying the land they fought for and many have died for. I'm talking about men like Dan Gilyet, a Marine who lost his leg in Iraq and is offering his courage and his devotion to freedom to the good people of the 3rd Congressional District of Kansas. Major General David Evans, running for Congress in Tennessee, is determined to be a bold witness for freedom when he gets to Congress. And these and other candidates, signers of the Freedom Papers, are men who've proven they'll speak and act boldly on behalf of the country. You know, where are the bold speeches by the Republicans? I listen to the news every day. I hear nothing. How much of an outcry have you heard from the Republicans? How much outrage and righteous indignation?
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
That's right. And by signing the Freedom Papers, it at least proves that the candidate is willing to speak boldly enough that maybe they can make a difference when they go to Washington. Voters need to know that if a candidate can't even sign a tough-talking letter, standing shoulder to shoulder with men of courage, they probably won't be bold enough to be a voice in Washington for freedom. And Veterans for a Strong America will look at any candidate's positions on the issues, and if endorsed by us, a candidate can be a signer.
Well, what does this new letter have in it?
The letter is titled, "The Measure of the Citizen is the Measure of the Nation," and it raises some issues around the illegal immigrant debate that I don't think are brought up very often, but are nevertheless probably more important than any of the single issues that you might hear about normally. And it's a letter to Nancy Pelosi from these men of courage, and I have the honor to be reading this to you and your audience today.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mrs. Pelosi, sometimes in the life of those who defend freedom, it becomes necessary to speak the hard truth to those who appear incapable of comprehending basic reason, let alone the higher truths upon which freedom does indeed depend. If we allow you and your accomplices to remake the means by which our nation makes a citizen, the motive, direction, and meaning of the life of the American citizen will be fatally flawed and corrupted forever after. That citizen's relationship to his fellow Americans, our nation's laws, our common culture, and the allegiance they should hold to this nation and this nation alone will forever tend to diverge further and further away from anything that resembles personal loyalty and devotion to these United States. Civil rights are not squatters' rights. All benefits of citizenship depend upon lawful and established associations, freely given and received, that are founded upon an ethic of reciprocal responsibility, a civil balance of give and take between the individual and the nation.
True.
This lawful, freely established association cannot be obtained through manipulation, nor can it be forced upon a free people by a political pressure group that has invaded this nation by violating her borders. Citizens cannot come to respect and participate in a nation governed by rule of law through illegally obtaining the benefits of citizenship. Citizenship has never been granted to persons because of their race or national origin, nor has this privilege been accorded to groups of citizens. The measure of a citizen has always been the measure of an individual person, and it is the individual who comes to our shores and is accorded the blessing and dignity of a free person by the citizens of the nation called America, the last best hope of earth. For you and your like-minded, parasitic, professional politicians to suggest that freedom and citizenship can be given to a group, or what is no more than the disingenuous equivalent, a path to citizenship, is for you to propose the destruction of one of freedom's cornerstones.
Exactly.
Your ruinous progressive policies would forever set the mold in the minds of these new citizens that their rights came first from affiliation to a political group, such as La Raza or the Democratic Party, which essentially means that it is their race and nation of origin they have to thank for their rights and the benefits of being an American citizen. Mexico, by this logic, would be the ultimate sponsor of their bid for citizenship. The members of this group will forever tend to act in lockstep with their political sponsors and not as real Americans. Your progressive ideology is a Babylon so foreign to the soul of this nation that we are even now feeling the dizzying effects which the confusion and future shock your multicultural vision for America is spawning. America has always welcomed the tired and the poor from every nation. We have fought in combat side to side with men and women from every nation who love this country. If you love America, you will respect her laws. If you respect your fellow citizens, you won't violate the will of her people. It is not enough to come to America and say you love her because you are poor and she can give you a better life. The measure of a citizen is in what he or she will sacrifice to defend her.
Right, right, right.
How can a group that won't assimilate join us in fighting on the battlefield for freedom if we have to press one for English when all hell is breaking loose? The united will of fighting men and women depends for its cohesion upon communication. And communication's basic premise is that of a common language. Likewise, the cohesion and unity of a nation depends upon a common language and culture shared by those from diverse linguistic and cultural backgrounds. Never before have so many accommodations been made commercially, educationally, and politically for a group that in great numbers refuses to assimilate, unlike what generations of foreign nationals have freely chosen to do when taking upon themselves the mantle of freedom, U.S. citizenship. But you like having a captive audience, a constituency you can fool all of the time, like serfs in a fiefdom, or the gardeners you employ at subpar wages in your mansions, don't you? What sort of national political discourse can a nation have when millions are unable to speak the English language? Your twisted, progressive mindset is a form of irrational double-mindedness that honors diversity in such a way that unity becomes virtually impossible because English and the assimilation to American culture no longer stand as expectations society has of the American citizen, and all the accommodations are being made and resources expended to encourage the opposite.
Sure.
Is it selective blindness or amnesia on your part that fails to recognize how many making up the pressure group of illegal Hispanic immigrants view large parts of the United States as rightfully belonging to Mexico? Are you not seeing the onslaught of foreign gangs and drug lords as blatant armed invasion and a clear and present danger to our peaceful citizenry? Is it lost on you and those who hold the acid trip that is your worldview that better than one-third of all inmates in federal prison are illegal aliens and serving time not for violation of immigration laws alone, but for other crimes far more serious? Where have all the founders gone? Long time passing. They await us in the places where courage is needed most, and where the courageous do still stand in every generation. Eisenhower rounded up and deported 12 million illegals in the 1950s, all without E-Verify and computer databases. But then again, he had the courage to land on D-Day and face down Hitler. Did anyone in Eisenhower's time dare call him a Nazi? What is it with you progressive liberals going back to the founding father of impotence, Jimmy Carter, that there is no riffraff you fail to welcome into this country, starting with the Cuban jails emptying out and disgorging their refuse onto the fair state of Florida? What about balancing the composition of our immigrant population just a little bit, away from a racial bias brazenly favoring Hispanics to a degree that would provoke the most shrill outcry from the likes of the ACLU if equal percentages and numbers of immigrants were Caucasian? What about letting in a few more PhDs from India, China, and Eastern Europe? What about closing this nation's borders to immigrants from nations who hate America en masse for intractable cultural and religious reasons? Yes, Muslim nations where radical Islam is epidemic. We utterly reject the national death wish that is your brand of politics, Mrs. Pelosi. We will not allow this nation's identity to be formed by your self-hating, distorted, progressive liberal mindset. If you proceed with giving blocks of immigrant citizenship against the will of the vast majority of the people, we will annul and repeal their citizenship, a flagrantly fraudulent citizenship given to those who do not deserve it, have not earned it legally, and demonstrate no personal loyalty as individuals to America or respect for our laws, because this citizenship was given under terms both suspect and deeply flawed, and because it would place our nation in mortal danger to allow this travesty to stand.
Where can we read more?
Your listeners can also sign the Freedom Papers as concerned citizens along with the candidates by going to www.freedompapers.org. You'll see a list of other candidate signers there. And I would urge your listeners to support them, even if it's giving each signer a buck. That would make a huge difference to the cause of saving our nation.
Edward DeVere, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I want to thank you for always being the incorruptible, uncompromising voice of freedom on our airwaves.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Michelle and I enjoyed a wonderful evening at the president's home. Our daughters will never forget having tea in the Winter Garden of the Kremlin. And, Mr. President, I hope you'll remember having a burger at Ray's Hell's Burger.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Been down, isn't it a pity?
There was a big, big storm front hit the East Coast today. 116-year record heat smashed today in Washington, D.C. from all the hot air. Storm slammed Connecticut. Buildings collapsed in Bridgeport. Obama chowed down on a hamburger. Judge faces death threats after Gulf Oil drilling ruling. Higher education in New Jersey is a medical marijuana class. I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. It's crazy. We're living in an insane world since Obama took power. It's gotten worse.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty.
And finally, you're not going to believe this. District policy makes condoms available to children in the first grade. School board chairman Peter Grosso, what a name, says because there is no set age when sexual activity starts, the committee decided not to start an age for condom availability, so children in the first grade can now get condoms in a local government educational institution under the NEA. Where is this? Massachusetts. Massachusetts, Cape Cod. After all, I have to introduce them to the lifestyle that's waiting for them. Give condoms to first graders. All on MichaelSavage.com. You won't read any of this in your local newspaper. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. McKristallnacht isn't over yet. Even though General Stanley McChrystal has resigned, members of the administration were still nervously defending Obama's untenable decision today. Here's Robert, I'm not even going to go there, Gates, the defense secretary.
I fully support President Obama's decision to accept General McChrystal's resignation as commander of the International Security Assistance Force in Afghanistan. Like the president, I deeply regret the circumstances that made this decision necessary. General McChrystal is one of the finest officers and warriors of his generation, who has an extraordinary record in leading the fight against some of this country's most lethal enemies. I believe the poor judgment exercised by General McChrystal with regard to the Rolling Stone profile has made his continued service in that post and as a member of the national security team untenable. The statements and attitudes reported in the news media are unacceptable under our form of government and are inconsistent with the high standards expected of military leaders. Our singular focus must be on its succeeding in this mission without distraction or division.
And here's Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, whose father was a Hollywood press agent and whose mother was an assistant to Jimmy Durante.
I, too, fully support the president's decisions yesterday, both to accept General McChrystal's resignation and to nominate General Petraeus as the next commander of U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan. General McChrystal is a friend. He's a fine soldier and a good man, and he has served his country nobly and with great distinction for more than three decades. But I cannot excuse his lack of judgment with respect to the Rolling Stone article or a command climate he evidently permitted that was at best disrespectful of civilian authority. We do not have that luxury, those of us in uniform. We do not have the right, nor should we ever assume the prerogative, to cast doubt upon the ability or mock the motives of our civilian leaders, elected or appointed. We are and must remain a neutral instrument of the state, accountable to and respectful of those leaders, no matter which party holds sway or which person holds a given office. I think it is vital for us to remember that if we lose their trust and confidence for any reason, it's time to go.
Mike Mullen is a desk admiral. But worst of all was the disgusting Senator John McShane. Listen to him.
We applaud the decision of the President of the United States to ask General Petraeus to go serve again in defense of our nation. We think there is no one more qualified or more outstanding leader than General Petraeus to achieve a successful conclusion of the Afghan conflict. We praise the service of General McChrystal and thank him for his service to our nation and wish him well every success in the future. We are confident that General Petraeus's leadership will have a very positive effect on the situation in the region. The hearing for General Petraeus's confirmation will probably be the fastest in the history of the Armed Services Committee.
If only John McShane's departure from the U.S. Senate could be so fast. Wait, and then Obama meets with President Medvedev of Russia. And you know what they talked about? Hamburgers and basketball.
The new partnership between our people spans the spectrum from space to science to sports. I think, President, you're aware that recently I welcomed to the White House a group of young Russian basketball players, both boys and girls, who were visiting the United States. We went on the White House basketball court, and I have to admit, some of them outshot me. They represented the hope for the future that brings our countries together.
Obama has a mean and hungry look about him eating that burger. Remember what Cicero said about such men. And here's the last note of the day. The old lady look-alike, Paul McCartney, says global warming skeptics are the same as Holocaust deniers. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, indeed.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Everybody I know, and some of them voted for Obama, are sick. People are sick. They're frightened. They don't know what's coming next. They feel as though the country is out of control. Everything is upside down. And they're physically breaking down, and they're mentally breaking down. This administration has produced a turmoil in the American people unseen since, I don't know what. What should I say? Since World War II? I've never seen anything like this. Shall I go back to the Civil War? I almost feel as though Obama's trying to create a civil war in America for his own reasons. This is the most divisive, destructive president in American history in the minds of millions of thoughtful, intelligent human beings who have seen what this man is doing.
Savage.